Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN Podcast, episode 270. On the podcast today, I chat to the Duchess of the Chart, Nicola Duke. I'll should be looking at Prudential, Ladbrokes, and Northcote Energy. Plus, I have the micro news and the broker forecast. And this podcast is dedicated to Hannah, otherwise known as Gaffer's Girl, for a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. But you know what, Hannah, I tell you what, I've got a bone to pick with you, my lovely. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I'll read a lovely review, apart from one thing in that review that really got my goat. You know what I'm saying? So I'll read that out later. But listen, Hannah, I really do appreciate you taking the time to go to iTunes there, give me a 5-star rating and a review. And I tell you what, do you know what? I got 70. I want to get 100. I've got 70 5-star reviews. 1 4-star. And if I catch the person who's done that, ooh, woe betide you. Have you ever heard of that before, woe betide? That's something teachers used to say in Wales. My parents, my grandfather used to say, woe betide you. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. Anyway, but before all that, listen, I do the intros to the podcast, and literally they are memos to myself, pretty much. I think if I say them enough to myself, I'll stick with them, it'll stick in my head. And one of the things I always go with, it's my philosophy, is buy a good company at a good price. What's the most important thing about that? So there's a dynamic there of two, you know, formula, two dynamics, two parts of that little catchphrase. And that's good company, good price. What's the most important? And I'd say it's the price. You can, because I've said this before, you can make money off a rubbish company if you buy it at the right price. If you buy it cheap enough, when it hits low and it turns around, you can make cracking money off a rubbish company. But you can also lose money on a good company if you buy too high. You know, if you buy at a high, a record high, that company can have a little pullback, like now, Apple. I've seen Apple shares have been pulling back for the last few days. I don't know what they're like today, but, you know, people say, oh, they oversold and all that stuff. And this happens. Good companies, you know, they're going to have a pullback for months. So you could be in a loss, sitting on a loss of months, if you don't buy the right price in a good company. And we highlight the company today with Nicola, Prudential. A cracking company that I bought a while back. It was on my Sunday stock picks. And I bought at the wrong time completely. I bought too high. I've just rushed in there, chased the price, didn't let the price come to me, and I bought at the wrong time. Mistimed it completely. And I should have sat back and had a bit of discipline and wait. Let the price, another little cliche, let the price come to you. Don't chase the price. Whenever you chase the price, it's like running into it's like chasing a car. And the car stops all of a sudden at a traffic light. You go smack into the back of it and you'll fall down, fall backwards. I don't know what I'm trying to say there. But you know what I'm getting at. Don't chase it. Let it come to you. It's like hailing a taxi rather than chasing it. That's a better analogy, isn't it? So rather than chasing, running on the road after a taxi, because they won't. If you're a taxi driver, right, and I'm getting somewhere with this. If you're a taxi driver, all right, and say it's at 12 o'clock at night, all right, and you see someone running after you with their hands in the air, hey, oi, mate, it's a lift, oi, oi, and it's 12 o'clock at night, and the person is chasing you, you're aware he's probably had a few drinks. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop or speed up? Or maybe stop hard enough to hit the guy? Now, if you stand there with your arm out nicely, looking quite sophisticated, quite relaxed, looking sober, you know, that the taxi will come to you. Taxi is the price. This analogy is rubbish. I understand that. But essentially what I'm saying is, you know, when you buy a company, that's why a lot of private investors start off, get it wrong. I haven't got it right by any means whatsoever. And in fact, you know, that's all Warren Buffett says. You sit there, wait. It will come to you. Pick it up. Let the money come to you. It will happen. And this is what I'm going to do with Prudential, I think. I'm going to start scaling into Prudential if it drops a bit lower, because it's a cracking company, but I bought it at the wrong price. So I'm discussing that with Nicola, and you'll see. So have this in mind. Yes, buy a good company, but you've got to buy it at the right price, because you can even buy a rubbish company for a good price and make money. And joining me on the podcast right now is the Duchess of the Chart. It's Nicola Duke. You're all right, Nick?
Hello. That's so nice of you.
That's all right. Now, the market's slightly down today, almost 1%. Eight-tenths of 1%, almost the FTSE I'm talking about, as a broader index. And I'm thinking, obviously, the big news out over the night was the Chinese devaluing their currency by close on 2%, 1.9%. I don't understand what this means. I understand it means that essentially their exports become cheaper. And as they're an export-led economy, it's good for them, even though they're trying to rebalance into a consumer-led, you know, more in-facing economy. They obviously are reliant.
It's great for them, and they export a little bit of deflation to us.
Yes.
And exporting a little bit of deflation to us is less pressure, theoretically, on less pressure on the Bank of England or the Fed to raise rates. But they don't seem to be in any hurry to do it anyway. So
yeah,
I think it's all a bit overdone, to be honest, the reaction.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, is it that, do you think, that's caused this, you know, because it was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Go on, it sort of smacks of a bit of desperation on the Chinese behalf. It says to me that I know a lot of people don't believe the figures that come out of China, and it says to me, essentially, we think the figures are quite bad because essentially they're doing this. This is quite a dramatic, surprise step they've taken to try and boost their export market. So maybe there's something they're not telling us here. You know, is it people worrying about that? Are people saying, are the figures worse in China than we think, actually?
I think it's pretty clear that, you know, China's not doing as well as it used to do. And I think they're just trying to engineer a soft landing rather than a hard landing. But it's, you know, it's pretty clear that they're not going to get 7 or 10% growth forever. You know, wages in China have risen a huge amount, and that's quite a lot of pressure. And they're going to end up like the rest of us, you know, with looking like 3 or 4% growth is great. So that's all it is. And I mean, I can't really see how anyone's harmed by this unless you're investing in China and you've not hedged your currency risk. You know, for the rest of us, it's not that.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can see then is that essentially, because of this move, it shows China's worrying a bit about its own economy. That's what they think it shows. And so, obviously, if China, now being the second biggest economy in the world, does catch a bit of a cold, then the rest of the world will a little bit. So it proves to me they're a little bit desperate, the Chinese leaders there. But having said that, the FTSE's coming down. So you think, though, you said just before
perhaps
we went to
it, luxury brands, you know, that export to China might be impacted by this. But otherwise, you know, I don't think it's that.
But if the Chinese economy is slowing down, like if it's majorly slowing down, there'd be a lot of people affected, like the miners and all that. We know the miners are exporting less to China, so it will have an impact, especially on the FTSE there, because a lot of miners are in the FTSE. But where do you see the FTSE coming down? Like I said, it's down to 66.82 right now. So if we draw a line, it's forming a bit of a wedge there, isn't it? You can draw a line.
Yeah, really good support, 65.75. But I think, you know, it could come all the way back to sort of 65, 64.50 and still, you know, not be in danger. You know, it's still looking quite well supported. I think we go higher from here. And 65, 75 should catch us.
And like, it's still a bit of summer madness, isn't it? You know, I mean, we're still in the throes of summer where people are, you know, it's a thinner market and people worry about a pullback in the summer. And like I said, you know, it's as good to happen now to produce a bit of a run up towards the end of the year, I suppose, because it's a nice base to form, isn't it? Because if we were frothing higher here, we're hitting highest here, you think, well, hang on, what's going to happen traditionally at the end of the year? What's going to happen then? It probably won't go anywhere. But I think if it's going to happen anywhere, happening in the summer is a good thing to happen, because it can happen there anyway.
Right. And it is just a pullback at the moment. Like, it's not, the world is not ending. So
I'm glad you said that. I was just about to pack up then and put everything away. It's official. The world is not ending, stated Nicola Duke. That's good. So anyway, let's look at some individual stocks, Nick. I've sent you a couple across. Prudential, which, do you know what? In my mind, their boss left to go to Credit Suisse, I think. I can't pronounce his name. I wouldn't even attempt to. But and they took a bit of a hit because of that. But they produced good results today. And they're still, I think they're down with the overall market. Are they down? Oh, no, they're up 2% today.
Yeah, so really nice. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, look at that. £15 seems like a strong support level, doesn't it?
It does. £15 is a very strong support level. And I really like this level. And if we can hold it, and if we can get above 15.50, we should continue from here to make new highs.
Yeah.
But it's a big if. And I did think that... I had 1390 marked on my chart for sort of to hold. It has to hold 1390 to keep the trend. But no, I do really like this, and I think that the target, upside target, is 1860.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Fundamentally, they're a very good company. They don't pay huge dividends, about 2.5%, I think, because they are, you know, growing their businesses in the Far East there. But like I said, do you know what? If you look at this on a 2-year chart, just get it. In fact, no, let's get a 3-year. In fact, let's get a 5-year.
Exactly. No damage. Almost get a 5-year.
No, literally, whenever this touches the 200-day moving average, you know, you can buy it pretty much. And there's a couple of times back in 2011 when we had that big sort of correction, it did come through, it pierced the downside below the 200-day moving average. But it's done that now again. And you think this is like a good opportunity.
I know. So we really do need to recover it. So the first hurdle will be clearing 1550. And then the second hurdle is the 200-day moving average, which today is at 1575, 1578.
Yeah.
So we have a bit of headwind, but I like the level and the support. So watch it to see if it can, because if it can, then it should go to new highs. Of the three stocks you sent me, I like this one the best.
Do you? Do you know what? I bought Prudential a while back. I got out. I bought it all wrong. I wanted to get into the company for a long time. I couldn't bother to wait for the pullback. And this is like a... And I got out and lost about 50-100 quid or something like that. But I mean, because I wanted to put some more into Royal Shell, so I cut back on other companies. And I thought, do you know what? I bought this at the wrong time completely. I didn't wait. I was too. I think I bought about £16, I think, and it came back down. I sold around there. It didn't make a lot. I didn't lose a lot. But I sort of just waited, you know, because I did that thing. I looked in the 5-year chart. I thought, do you know what? You can wait for this to hit the 200-day moving average, then scale in slowly. And because the fundamentals for growth in the future are good. It's just I chased the price. I always wait for it to come to you a little bit, I think. But I mean, I've chased it and I lost out. And I wouldn't mind now attempting to scale back in here because it's a good company, you know.
Yeah.
But you were saying, where do you think they're in the bottom? What do you think? 1390, that it could go down to?
I had it down to 1390, but it obviously likes this 1500.
Yeah.
So 15 level. If we can find support here and get above 1550, we're on our way. And we have a very good chance of getting back above the 200 day.
Marvellous. All right, that's good stuff. All right, let's move on to another well-known
name. In other words,
the
reason I want it above 1550 is that's last week's high. So at the moment, we're still making, you know, lower lows and lower highs, so trending lower. We just need to reverse the pattern and get above that. So.
Yes, and of course, as a trend, there's the 50-day and 20-day now has crossed.
We're just like a close here would be back above the 20. So I'd quite like... That would be the first hurdle.
But we got the death cross there, haven't we? Is that the death cross? Do they call it that? What's the golden cross? The opposite of the golden cross. What is that?
A death cross, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. So that means it may have some, like you suggest, some further pressure ahead of it. So it's a wait and see a little bit, isn't it? See if it crosses above that 1550, like you said.
Yeah, it's only just happened in the last couple of days and it can easily, you know, because they're moving averages. So if we put in a good rally here, we can easily... pull that back up again and undo the death cross.
So. Yeah. And do you know what? They've released some good figures on a bad day in the market and they're still up. So they're swimming against the current, aren't they? So normally on a good day, that would have been up, say, 5%, but now it's up, say, 2.5%. So maybe it's been held back by the current anyway. Okay, let's move on to another household name in the high street there. Ladbrokes, LAD. They posted like a 44% drop in profits because shut shops, the new tax come in on betting and all that stuff, so they haven't had a good time of it, and they've been in it. But I'm thinking, where's the turnaround for this company, because they've been in a downtrend. I'm looking at a 3-year chart here.
So this this one is a little bit concerning. If you go to a 5-year chart, you'll see the 2009 lows and the 2011 lows were at 114. Had a go below that level a few times this year and recovered it. I don't like that we're back below it again. I wouldn't look at this stock unless we can get back above 114, and I think even better is above 120.
Look at that. It's like Mount Everest. You've got a 5-year chart. It goes up, up, up. It's one half of the left of the chart is going up, climbing. They hit the peak there in, what, £2.43 in 2013. And literally, it's scaled all the way back down. Do you know what was dangerous, though, is that... Where was that? It gapped up, didn't it? From below the £1 odd in May, gapped up from £1.06 to like £1.14.
Yeah, we've just filled that gap, the low. So the low, last week, filled that gap. It does look like it wants to retest the lows. It's not compelling buy yet. It needs to do a little bit more to tell us it's finished going down.
It seems like... that magic £1 level, it seems to want to go back to that. And you think, if it does test that again, doesn't go below, then maybe that's a good risk, isn't it? I mean, you could put a stop loss in just below that £1 level, and you seem quite safe, you could a tight
or
stop loss.
I would say wait for it to test it. So wait for it to either test it and stop going down, or turn up from here and get sort of back above 115, 116.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. Okay.
Then it would have proved it's like the 200-day. Look, the 200-day is all the way down at 115. So it doesn't have to go up much from here to get back above that.
No. And it's horrible when you see that that sort of gapped up and a false breakout, and then all of a sudden they've always had some bad news. It's come, it hit this head in the £1.40 level, came all the way back down now to almost £1.10 or just below it. And you think, well, you could have jumped in then. You'd have been forgiven for jumping in there when it crossed that 200-day moving average on good news. And then all of a sudden it's reversed. And you think, uh-oh. There we are. Okay, let's move on to the last stock of the day here. Northcote Energy. It's a little stock here. It's a micro cap, but very popular with private investors. And oh, by the way, look, do you want my £1 million penny stock pun experiment? I started off with African potash. It's nearly hitting target, so I put £1,000 in at 0.49 pence. Yesterday it rose 59%, and day before that it rose about 30%. And so I'm up, I think, about 80%. I'm up. So all I need to get is 100%, and I cash in. Then I look for another penny stock and try and do the same again. Now, amongst the few stocks I'm looking at is this stock here, because it fits certain criteria. It's very liquid. A lot of people traded, and it's been forming out a base here. Now, what do you think about Northcote? Could this be one of five stocks I'm looking at for my next potential penny stock punt? But what do you think of this stock here?
Potentially, I really like how it rallied in April. And I like how we've sort of drifted lower without kind of making impulsive moves lower. Mm. But we're still in that corrective drifting lower. I would set a price alarm if we get back to 0.2. It's a buy.
Yeah.
And then your upside target is 0.48.
All right. That's more than double. That's exactly what I'm after.
It's called a declining wedge.
Yes.
So from the... 1st of May high, or end of April, beginning of May high, that's the wedge. So you can draw an upper trend line from that high, and I'll send you a chart with a picture of it. And we need to break out of this. wedge. And then if we do, then your target's up at 0.48.
So where was the high? The high was back in April. Was it 21st I've got there?
29th of April high. We're looking at Northcote.
Yes, 29th of April. That's right, yeah.
So connect that high.
Yeah.
And you can connect that to the 31st of July high.
Okay.
If we break that line, cross that line, on our way.
Okay, cool. And as a bottom of the channel, where would you see? Because I drew a line, I put an alert in here saying it shouldn't really go below. It's at 0.16 now, mm-hmm. of a penny, and I'm drawing a line at 0.15 essentially, because that seems to be the high from where was that? It's back in March 10th. Look at that.
Yes, that kind of midpoint. It sort of tested it, had a probe below. I really, you know, I think that July low should really be the low, and we should continue higher from here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you can do this with quite a tight stop. So,
All right, cool.
We'll see.
All right.
It should go.
Yes. Okay. Marvelous stuff, Nick. Well, that's lovely stuff in the charts. And if you are you going to send me the charts?
I will
over?
Send you the charts. Yes.
That'll be lovely. So I'll put them on sharepickers.com. You can check those out, Nicholas' annotated charts, and see what exactly he's talking about. And you can listen to the podcast and look at the charts at the same time. And then you can click the link on Nicholas' name. It'll take you to Twitter, and you can follow Nicola. That's perfect. Ideal, isn't it, Nick?
It is. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Speak soon, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Okay, it's time for the macro news. China's central bank has devalued the national currency, the yuan. If you put a Chinese accent on, I think it helps. Yuan. That's Japanese. To its lowest against the US dollar in almost 3 years. The lender said the move was a one-off depreciation of 1.9% in a move to make the exchange rate more market-orientated. What? What does that mean? Essentially, what you're saying is you want to help your exports. That's what you're saying, isn't it? Because your economy is having trouble. It's slowing down, and you are export-based, and you want to make the economy more consumer-based, more in-face, you know, more sort of self-reliant, but you're having problems doing that. And so you're trying to go back to the old export model. And so to get exports more competitive, you're devaluing your currency. You're cheating, basically. That's what you're doing. It's a currency war. Anyway, it comes in the wake of a string of weak economic data from the world's second-largest economy. At the weekend, China reported a sharp fall in exports and a slide in producer prices to a near six-year low in July. Exports fell by 8.3% in July, far worse than expected, and the producer price index was down 5.4% from a year earlier. Greece has agreed a bailout deal in principle with its creditors, the European Commission has said. The deal is needed to keep the country in the Eurozone and avert bankruptcy. It's a lot quieter this time, isn't it? This obviously, this is just signing off the particulars. And the major negotiations happened, but we're not hearing a lot more about this, are we? A deal is needed to keep the company. Sorry, I just said that. The Greek government is hoping to push a new €86 billion three-year agreement through Parliament later this week. The country needs a deal by the 20th of August. When's that? Next week. When the debt repayment of about €3 billion to make the European Central Bank has to make it there. So otherwise, they're in trouble. So that's the deadline. Again, another deadline. Time for the micro news. I've just done that. Here's the good news. Prudential posted a better-than-expected 17% rise in first-half operating profit and lifted its interim dividend, pointing to a strong performances in all of its business units. That's good. First-half trading update from Card Factory revealed the retailer enjoyed a better-than-expected like-for-like sales growth of 2.7% as it confirmed the return of surplus cash will be made later in the year. I'm not a big fan of retailers, though. You know, it's literally paper thin, and quite appropriately for Card Factory, paper thin profit margins. You know, and I understand they have to turn over a lot, but you get one off incidents there, we'll take out that margin. And unless they turn over a heck of a lot, unless they're a very big company, you know, it kind of impact them, one off charges. After issuing a profit warning in January, Game Digital has reported it's on track for the end of the year. Energy provider OPG Power Ventures said overall power generation was up by 32% in the first quarter as it announced that its new generating plant is on track to be operational at the end of September. By the way, when I was talking earlier on about buy a good company at the right price, I suppose to know about good prices, you have to know about the chart. And that's how I've changed my investment strategy in the last few years completely. I do spend not only looking at the fundamentals, but I do look then at the chart, at the historical price of the company, and see if there's any trends there, you know, and go with that. So, you know, if you're not into charts, you know, learn about it because they're very handy. Eurasian Mining began drilling at its Monchetundra platinum license area that is expected to significantly increase the value of his Russian project. Market research and data analytics group YouGov's reported that full year trading was in line with expectations. And here's the bad news. Serco has reported a 76.2 million pound pre-tax loss for the first half of the year on revenues down to 1.8 billion pounds from 2 billion. Ladbrokes pointed a 44% drop in first half pre-tax profits and cut its interim dividend as the company took a hit from taxes and impairment charges, which included the closure of some of its shops. SIG posted a rise in first half pre-tax profit and raising its interim dividend after building the materials company, but it said its margins were under pressure. So it comes as a cost there that, you know, that increased their revenue. They've reduced their margins. Hargreaves Services lifted its dividend as expected. Optimism about UK coal markets, despite posting a 52.2% fall in full-year profit before tax. Zoo Digital posted an operating loss of $2.1 million, unchanged from last year. Velocis, you know, this annoyed me. One of my stock picks, a cracking company this, you know, because they're in the small gas-to-liquid model. I mean, there are companies that do big versions, a very expensive version of changing gas to liquids, but Velocis and his boss, Roy Lipskew, took it from an idea to a product. You know, that's this company. Anyway, Velocis chief executive Roy Lipskew is set to leave the small gas to liquids company with immediate effect. This annoys me because this was one of my Sunday stock picks, a promising company. Roman Abramovich has a lot of shares in this company. And a couple of months, was it about a month back maybe? Yeah, they announced that Roy Lipskew has been suspended as CEO. Pending an investigation. They said it wasn't financial or any misconduct within in the company. But then it made it, so what is it then? The share price dropped by 25%. And they said, oh, it's nothing financial. But it is financial, especially to shareholders. You know, and all of a sudden now, he's been shown the door. And he said, they did say he's left the company by mutual consent. Well, I guarantee he didn't want to leave. And what's the issue? We want to know. There's no transparency there. So the big boss of the company who's taking this, like I said, this idea to the product, the market, to a business, has essentially just left. No explanation whatsoever. That's fine, is it? So again, you know, private investors are held holding the expensive can, and there's no explanation or transparency, which makes me think, you know, is this the way this company is reporting? Is it a good thing? You know, is this the way they're going to report in the future? They'll just cover up things they don't want to tell you. And I just think it doesn't set a good precedent, essentially. Anyway, that's Velocis. Roy Lipskew, he's gone. Bye, Roy. Nice knowing you. Johnson Press reported a slowdown in first half trading, but said it remained confident in its strategy. Of what? Slowing down? We're confident we'll lose more money over the long term? Easily. Apparently he's confident in his cost-cutting exercises, I read with interest. Online gaming and media company PCG Entertainment posted a wider annual loss on the back of costs related to its flotation on AIM. That's the micro news. Here are the broker forecasts. Here's the upgrades. Citigroup has initiated coverage of Cineworld Group to buy. Price target, $7.20. Kepler Chevro has upgraded Cobham to buy. Price target, $3.25. Canaccord-Genuity has upgraded Partnership Insurance Group to hold. Price target, 166. On the downgrades, quite interesting, Panmure Gordon has downgraded Partnership Insurance Group to hold. Price target, 165. That's 1p above Canaccord-Genuity's hold price. So it's quite an actress appearing there. Kepler Chevro, and finally, has downgraded Ultra Electronic Holdings to hold. Price target, £19.20. That's it for the podcast. Apart from this review from Hannah, or on iTunes, you call it Gaffer's Girl. And I quite like the review. 5-star rating. Thank you very much for that, Hannah. It says, Justin loves a disclaimer. Yeah. Well, I've got to do that, you see. Because if someone invests in something I've talked about and then loses money, they'll blame me.
You know, they said, oh, this guy told me to invest. I didn't have any brain for myself. They said, he said, this man on this podcast, he said, put all your money, all your mortgage money on this stock, and I lost it. It's his fault. So that's why I do that, you know, to cover my own backs. Anyway, this is what Gaffer's Girl says. I love listening to this on my commute to work. Once you get over Justin's annoying local radio DJ voice. What? What are you talking about? Annoying local radio DJ voice. Anyway, and then Hannah was in brackets. Love you really, Justin. You'll find his straight-talking, common-sense approach. What do you mean, local D just got on my nerves, that is? Hey! Talking common-sense approach, really good starting point for your investments. Always good variety of discussion and full of valuable learning points. Disclaimer. Please remember, do not listen to this podcast based on my tip or recommendation. These are only an opinion. Do your own research for podcasts. They are your own ears. Hannah, Berkshire. I quite like that, Anna. I see what you did there. Fantastic! I really like that, Anna. Thanks for giving me the review and rating there. I really appreciate that. Fantastic. By all means, if you have a spare 5 minutes, go to iTunes and give me a review, and I will read it out and dedicate this show to you. Hannah, this is your show. Thank you very much for the rating. Muchos apreciados. And don't forget, please, ladies and gentlemen, don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation here in the podcast. It's only just opinion, and it's not your opinion. So please, do your own research. I cannot be held responsible for any money you lose as a result of you sort of investing in something that's been mentioned or, you know, tipped on this podcast. It's not my problem. You know, it's your money. Come on. Take a bit of responsibility. Having said that, if you do make money and you happen to, you know, do a bit of research in a company that I also own, and you bought them because you, you know, use that as a starting point for your research, then I don't mind you sending me an email saying thank you very much, Justin, and your points on this company started my research, and I researched the company very well, and I'm, you know, took responsibility for myself, my money, and I invested. But I do appreciate your starting point there. So, you know, I don't mind a bit of praise. Anyway, listen, I'm banging on so much, I'm boring myself. I'm going to say goodbye to everyone. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The ADBFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.